Wouldn't you love to build a business you can run from anywhere in the world, whether that be your kitchen table or a beach in Fiji? Well, you're in the right place. Welcome to Your Lifestyle Business, the show where I bring you into my life as a traveling entrepreneur and, along with some of my awesome guests, give you tips and strategies for building your own freedom business. Welcome to the show. Let's make it happen. Hello there, how are you doing? Jo here, and welcome to another episode of the Your Lifestyle Business podcast. Today is part 4 of my blogging series. If you have not yet listened to part 1 to 3, then head back to episode 78. That's where it starts. Part 1, episode 78, then 79, then 80. And in 78, we're talking about how to make money blogging. So we're starting with the end in mind. Let's figure out how you're going to make money and what you want to do with your blog first. Then in episode 79, we go through how to set up your blog and choosing your domain and name, etc. And then in episode 80, I run through your essential pages and plugins and recommended plugins that you need to get started. So today, what we're going to be talking about is your content strategy. So actually getting out there and writing some posts. So number one in this strategy is to know your long-term goals. Your long-term goals of your blog are really going to determine the type of content that you create. So if you have not yet listened to episode 78 on how to make money blogging, I really urge you to go and have a listen to that, because your long-term goals really are focused around the whole point, the whole objective of your blog. So for example, let's say that your goal is to be an affiliate marketer and you want to make money as soon as possible. Well, then you will probably, your entire blog will probably be made up of primarily how-to posts and review posts. So you will use the how-to posts to kind of accelerate your ranking and educate people and show them how to do stuff. And then that will be linked to and followed up by review posts of certain products or programs or whatever it is you are affiliating for. So for example, let's just say that you're going to run a pet blog and you want to affiliate for a company that sells pet food. Then your entire blog might be made up of how to train your puppy, how to crate train your dog, how to train your dog to heal, how to hydrate your dog, how to ensure your dog's getting the proper nutrition, posts like that, followed by review of the best dog foods for certain sized dogs, for small dogs, or the best dog food for large dogs, or, you know, the best food for tummy problems, or do you see what I mean? So it's going to be made up of how-to posts plus review posts primarily, because they are the kind of posts that are going to help you to generate that affiliate revenue as fast as possible. If, say, your long-term goal is to become an influencer or to sell information products or video courses, books, etc., and you want to build more of a personal brand, then the content you put on your site is going to be a wider mixture of educational how-to posts plus some more personal posts telling your story. You know, it's more about you. You want to sell you more on your blog. So your blog is going to contain a lot more stuff that's generally about you, your story, the things you've achieved, examples of how you've overcome things, how you've gone on to achieve goals maybe that your audience want to achieve, that kind of stuff, as well as some how-to educational posts, some inspirational posts, and, you know, lots of different types of posts, some list posts maybe, all those different types of posts that we can have. But it's a lot more about you because you're building more of a personal brand. If, let's say, that you're selling physical products, then you're probably going to be doing posts about those products and maybe educational posts about those products. For instance, this year we've been working on an e-commerce store that was selling water bottles with crystals in the bottom of them. So we've been writing lots and lots of blog posts all about crystal healing, the different types of crystals that you need for different things in your life. So crystals for prosperity, or crystals for relaxation, or crystals for meditation, or healing anxiety and stuff like that. So lots of kind of how-to posts, and then leading people to, and here are these fabulous water bottles where you can put these wonderful crystals in and you get the the kind of benefits of crystal healing water. So your posts are going to be a lot more geared towards educating people about the products that you're selling. And then if, say, you're wanting to sell services, maybe you're a freelancer or you want to become a digital marketer, or you're going to sell some software, or you're going to be a web designer, whatever, if you're selling services, then a lot of your posts are going to be showcasing your expertise. So they're going to be many, many posts where you're demonstrating what you know about that subject in order to then obviously sell your services to people who are coming by and need somebody to come and do what you can do for their business or life. All right. So you really do need to know and start out with your long-term goals. So do make sure that you've kind of got that written out somewhere, or at least a very clear vision in your head. This is why I'm building my blog. This is what I want to achieve. As an example, your lifestyle business, I am building a personal brand, but not just a personal brand. I'm building a brand around people being able to build their own lifestyle business. And on that, I'll be doing a mixture, actually, of quite a lot of these things. So my first monetization strategy is going to be affiliate marketing. So therefore, I need some how-to posts coupled with review posts. I'm going to be growing that into some physical products. I want to sell some journals and things. So I'll be talking about mindset and growth and travel lifestyle in order to attract people who want to journal and create better habits and be able to achieve more of their goals, etc. And eventually I'll be doing probably some courses and retreats and inviting people over to learn how to build their business. And therefore, I need posts, really good, in-depth educational posts guiding people through the steps needed to go and build their business. Hence why these podcast series of, you know, how to build your email list or how to build your blog, etc. So I've started with the end in mind. I know where I want my business to go. And therefore, that's really determining the kind of content that I want to create over the following 2 to 5 years. Okay. So start with the end in mind. If you haven't listened to episode 78 yet, go back, because that will really help you to figure out how you want to monetize it, and then work out kind of a path of how you want to monetize and grow your blog over the next few years, because as I said, that's really going to determine the content you create. So then once you know that and you've got that clear in your mind, then what you now want to do is go and make a list of all of the topics and questions and things that you think your ideal customer would know. Now, I'm skipping over that all important part of knowing who your customer is, because I talk about it a lot, and I'm going to presume that you have really sat down and thought about who your target market is. Maybe I shouldn't presume, but that is absolutely vital, and I talk about that in almost every single blog and strategy I do, knowing who your target market is. So obviously you must know when you're building your blog, you must know exactly who your target market is. And you might want to go back and listen to episode number 77, where I talk about choosing your niche, and I also talk about choosing your target market in that as well. Plus, I really highly recommend, I'm going to do my own, this is actually a really important part of today's podcast. I'm going to do my own blog on this, because I'm consistently sending people away to this resource, which is a great resource. But as I talk about it such a lot and I keep sending my audience to it, then I really should have something on my own site about it. And that is Digital Marketer. If you go to digitalmarketer.com and then type in customer avatar, they have a very good customer avatar worksheet, and I will link to that from the show notes. But at some point in the future, you may well go to my show notes and actually see, oh, Jo's created her own. Because I talk about it so much, so it's only right I should. All right, so I'm assuming that you know your customer. And so your next step is to make a list of all of the questions that your audience may well have, all right? So all of the topics and questions. And if you're not sure on where to go and find those, then head back to episode 56, because I talk about the top 10 ways for you to find awesome content ideas, okay? And it includes things like going to Quora.com, AnswerThePublic.com, going through Facebook groups, and really using your common sense. You're going to know the kind of questions that your customers have. And that's the point I'm making about what I just said to you. When you start building your brand, you will find that you will go to answer questions and you will send people where they can get the answers. So as a great example, the whole reason that I started this blogging series and am writing a supporting mammoth blog post to go with it is not actually because I'm doing it myself right now, which I am, but that's not actually why. It's because a couple of friends of mine have recently asked me about it, and I kept sending them to other resources. I kept talking about how they built a blog, where they should get hosting, how to secure a domain name, how to create their cornerstone content, how to do this, and I kept sending them off to other people. And I thought, Joe, this is crazy. This is your brand. You write about how to build membership sites. You write about how to build video courses. You write about how to build an e-commerce site, how to build an Amazon business. You must also write. It's a great lifestyle business, how to start a money-making blog. So that's why this series has come about, because people have asked me and I've sent them to other resources, and I want to be able to obviously deliver my own information about that. So as you're thinking about the questions that your audience has, think about just what people have asked you and you currently don't have that information. And don't be scared. Don't think, oh yeah, but somebody else has already done that. They have, but you haven't. So a million people have written about how to start a blog, but not in my style, not following my experiences. You might go out and read 10 different posts on how to start a blog, and you might not resonate with any of them. And then you might come to mine, and I might just explain it in such a way that the penny drops and you go, oh, now I get it. Now I know what to do. So never, ever worry that somebody else has done something, because you're unique. I go back to something that the lovely Liz Melville, who's a Facebook ads expert, once told me on one of my podcast interviews with her. And she said, there are no unique messages, only unique messengers. That's the world we're living in now, guys. There's very few unique messages left, but you are unique, and the way you deliver it will be unique. So never worry that it's been done before. You go and do it in your style. Okay, so go and make a list of all the questions that your audience has and what you think they want to know. And this is a really key part of how successful you're going to be. I always used to, many years ago, and so I'm going to give the example again, give an example of a guy called Marcus Sheridan, who used to run a site called The Sales Lion. And he was a big sales proponent for HubSpot. I think he was in one of their programs or something. And he talked about using them a lot. But he had a swimming pool installation business. And the world had gone into recession. I think we're heading back to sort of 2008, 2009 here, and nobody was buying swimming pools. So what he did is he made a list of every single question he felt his target market, his ideal client, would have about installing a swimming pool. And he answered those questions in blog posts on his website. And he just created hundreds of posts around all of these different questions he felt his audience would have. He grew that website and consequently grew his swimming pool installation business to be one of the most successful pool installation businesses in his county or state or wherever he was at that period of time when everybody else was flailing because nobody was buying. So that's the power. I worry a bit sometimes that some of my audience are like, I don't want to talk about blogging. I'm not interested in blogging. I'm trying to sell, pet food on my store, or I'm trying to sell jewelry, or I'm, trying to become an author here and sell books. I don't want to build a blog. But I'm really sold on, no matter what business, even Amazon sellers. If I were going to go and start an Amazon business again tomorrow, the first thing I would do is I'd start a website about the price. In fact, that's what I am going to do. When I launch my journals and my stuff and my travel diaries and things like that, I'm going to go and sell them on Amazon, but I'm going to build my audience on my website first, and then I'm going to go and sell them on Amazon. Because the more I can send traffic to Amazon, the higher Amazon is going to rank me, and then I'm going to benefit from Amazon's traffic traffic as well. So it really doesn't matter whether you're on Shopify, Amazon, selling print-on-demand stuff, you're on Redbubble, Zazzle, you're on Etsy, you're selling, you know, you're an Instagram influencer, you're on Pinterest, it doesn't matter. Having a website and growing your audience on your website is really going to support and help whatever business you are in. All right. Quick break. Everybody take a breath. All right. So you now have a list of questions that you think your audience has, all right, for your topic. So number three, what you now want to do is kind of make a list of keywords that you want to rank for. Now, when I was starting to write this out, it got very complex very, very quickly, as SEO and keyword researchers want to do. And it can get a bit challenging. So I'm going to try and keep this as simple as possible. By the time you listen to this podcast, I won't be far off having my accompanying blog done. So this will be supported with written content. So hopefully you'll be able to go and link through there if you're not entirely sure of everything I'm saying and be able to see it in print as well. But I will try and keep this as simple as possible. So you've got a list of questions. So let me give you an example. A good friend of mine wants to start a cooking blog. She wants to start an Asian cooking blog. So she might have a whole list of questions that other people might ask her. What are the key spices that I need to use for Asian recipes? How do I cook zoodles or noodles? How do I cook konjac noodles, which are low-carb noodles, especially in Asia? How do I cook tofu? How do I cook with tofu? You know, all those kind of key questions that her audience might have. So what she now wants to do is sit down and have a look and start to figure out some of the keywords that she really wants to rank for. So in an ideal world, she would sit down, first of all, just off the top of her head and say, okay, I'd really like to rank for how to cook Asian food. I'd really like to rank for Asian recipes. I'd really like to rank for Asian food for weight loss. You know, she might write all those kind of keywords down. And then what you want to do is go and have a look and see where you stand a chance of ranking. So what that means is when somebody is typing a search in Google, Google is going to bring up what it feels are the most relevant results pertaining to that search. So if somebody puts in Asian cooking, then Google is going to bring up what it feels are the most relevant websites that answer that person's query about Asian cooking. Where Google decides on whether a website is relevant or not is anybody's guess, because they're, you know, the algorithms are super complicated. But what generally comes up at the top of the rankings are sites with authority. Okay, so these are sites that have been grown over time and that other people have linked to. That's what really determines a website's authority. Are other websites linking back to that website, thereby giving it authority? That, coupled with very, very solid content, which is extremely relative to the search term. So if you've got one paragraph and 3,000 backlinks, you might have authority from a backlinking perspective, but you don't have solid content. It's called thin content. So the chances of ranking are slim. If you have a 15,000 word article that's very, very relevant to the search query, but you have zero backlinks, you got great content, but you have no authority. So it's those two coupled together, really solid content coupled with people linking to you. They're kind of the two main things. There's lots of others. There's like 200 Google ranking factors. But if we're going to simplify this right down, those are kind of the two main ones. Really solid content coupled with people linking back to you to say, yes, this person's post is great. And we've shown that by linking to it, thereby giving it authority. All right, makes sense. And the way authority is measured is one is zero authority or no authority. 100 is the top authority you can get. So Facebook has got 100. Pinterest has got 100. Amazon, I think, is close up there to 100. YouTube, you know, all of these have got massive, massive authority. And you can very easily see simply by going to Google and typing in your keywords and then have a look at the kind of sites that pop up to the top. And in cooking, for instance, you've got things like Delish, haven't you, and Yummy or whatever they are. They're going to be sites that lots and lots of people have linked back to, and therefore they have very, very high authority. So as an example, let's go back to my pet food example. Let's say you were going to do a blog on pet food, and when you went into Google and you typed in a keyword like best pet food for dog gastric issues or something, and at the top of the Google in that first page it was all massive brands, huge brands just dominating that first page, you'd probably look at that keyword and think, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to rank for that. So very much like me, if I want to rank for how to start a money-making blog, if I go and Google that, I've got HubSpot and Smart Blogger and Copy Blogger and Social Media Examiner and, you know, all these top sites that are right up there in the 90s ranking for it. The chances of me ranking for that are slim to nil. However, if I add a couple of long tail keywords to that, like how to make money blogging for beginners and stuff like that, then now we're saying, oh, I might be able to rank for that. Less volume, but also less competition. See how this can get very complex very, very quickly. So I'm going to keep trying to keep this very, very simple. So when you are researching keywords, what you are trying to do, and there are tools to help you do this, is you're trying to look for key phrases where on that page one of Google, there are two or three sites that are really our lower domain authorities. This means that you have a chance of potentially ranking on page one. Now, I've really simplified it. There is more to it, like how many backlinks posts have got and how relevant their keywords are and all that kind of stuff. But if you kind of keep that in your mind, that when you go to Google's front page, as long as there are two or three sites on there that have got a lower domain score, then you have a higher chance of ranking for that key phrase. So I recommend using Ubersuggest as a tool for beginners. I actually use a tool called ahrefs.com. You can use that. They do have a $7 trial for 7 days. So you could really prepare yourself, get yourself super prepared, have all of your keywords ready, all of your content ready, and then sign up for Ahrefs for 7 days. Watch all their videos before you sign up so you know how to use it. And then, in fact, that's just given me a good idea. I should do a video on how to do keyword research on Ahrefs. And then sign up for their $7 trial and then spend a week just coming up with a list of keywords. So you could do that, absolutely. And then either carry on if you love the tool, which I do, I absolutely love it, or not, because it is like $99 a month, so it's not cheap. Or you can use Ubersuggest, which is by Neil Patel. It's a great little tool. You can use it for free to start with. I'm not sure how many searches you get, maybe two or three a day, but even then it's very cheap for like a year's subscription. It's like $150 or something like that for a whole year, so it's quite cheap, Ubersuggest, and you're going to get just as good results as you are with Ahrefs, because all of these keyword tools, you know, they're going with what they can get out of the algorithms. Google does not reveal everything, so it's really funny when you put a search term into Ahrefs and you put the same one into Ubersuggest and you put the same one into SEMrush and they all come up with completely different results. So you kind of have to take what they say with a bit of a pinch of salt. And the best way really is to use Ubersuggest to kind of get you going, but then go and have a look at those sites in the top 10, because that's going to tell you yourself. But as an example, I typed in this morning into Ubersuggest, I typed in the key phrase Asian recipes, all right? And if I look at the full keyword Asian recipes, in Ubersuggest, it tells me that it has a volume of 8,100 clicks a month. So that's a decent volume. That's okay. 8,100 hits a month. I can go with that. Quite like the sound of that. But it has a SEO difficulty, according to Uber Suggest, of 22. Now, that doesn't sound very hard to me. I would be really happy with that. And I would immediately go about creating blog posts about Asian recipes because it only has a SEO difficulty of 22. But then when I look at the top 10 results, I've got domain scores. The first one is delish.com, which is an 88. The next one is Recipe Tin Eats, which is a 74. Third one, All Recipes, which is an 89. Fourth one is Pinterest, which is 100, and so on. All of them, down to 10, they're all in the 80s and 90s, apart from number 5, which is 71, and number 2, which is 74. So 70s, 80s, up to 100, which is huge on page 1. So that would potentially put me off that one because there's such high domain scores on page 1. And don't ask me, well, why does Uber Suggest say that it's only a 22 then? Because I can't cover all of that in this podcast. There's a whole other reasons. But just on the basis of what we've discussed in this podcast, that would kind of put me off a little bit because there's too many on the top there with high domain scores. However, if I keep going down and I have a look for some other ones, so for instance here I found one that says Asian zucchini recipes. Well, now number 1 is a domain score of 38. So I'm thinking, oh, okay, I might be able to go for that. And there's another one on page 1 which is a 49, and another one which is a 50, and another one which is a 65. So as a brand new website, really brand new, of kind of 0 to 1, you're not going to rank against any of those anytime soon. But when you've got those lower domain scores, you've got a better chance of ranking as you grow your site. Does that make sense? And okay, so Asian zucchini recipes has only got volume of 1,000 a month, but that's still pretty good. If you write a few posts with 1,000 a month and you start to rank for those, you're going to start to build your traffic up. And then as you grow, you can start to attempt to go for some of the more challenging keywords. So when you're doing your keyword research, in an ideal world, you want to be looking for some sites on page 1 that have a domain score as low as possible. Under 50, under 40, under 30, under 20, ideally as low as you can find, 2 or 3 on page 1 that have got those low domain scores, you have a chance of ranking. All right. And in an ideal world, as high a volume as possible. So you don't want, you know, 10 searches a month or 20 searches a month. But if there's something there with 250 searches a month and there's some people on page 1 that are down at a 10, happy days. And that's a great key phrase for you to go for. So I hope that that has kind of given you a rough idea. So look, you only really need 4 or 5 key phrases to get started. Don't overthink this. You really only need 4 or 5 really solid posts to go out there and start to promote your site. And that is the key to all of this, it's the promotion. Because when you start your blog, you're going to have a low domain score. And until you build that domain score up, it really doesn't matter how amazing your writing is. It's going to be very, very difficult to rank. So what we want to do is create 4 or 5 key, what Yoast plugin calls cornerstone content. These cornerstone posts, you want to get them written, and then we're going to go on to the promotion strategies, which we're going to talk about next week. Okay, and that is going to start to build your domain authority, and then you're going to start to see yourself ranking, which is going to build your organic traffic. So using those numbers I gave you, looking for posts on the top 10 page of the search engine results page, as low as possible with their domain score, which Uber Suggest will show you, and trying to get as high volume as you can using those two combinations, here's how I would pick my first 4 or 5 headlines for my posts. So I would write one post which is high volume and hard to rank. So for my friend, that might be Asian recipes. You know, it's a high volume post, high volume word, 8,100 hits a month. And all of the guys in the top 10 are 70s, 80s and 90s. Not going to rank for that anytime soon, but I'm going to have that ready to go. It's going to be an awesome piece of content on my site. It's going to be very, very solid. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, about how to create awesome content. And that's going to sit there as kind of like my goalpost. So for me, that might be how to start a blog. You know, my plan is I'm going to rank for that in the next 18 months to 2 years, because I'm not going to rank for it now, but I'm going to write it, have it on my post as a solid post, and then I'm going to rank for that in the future. So one of those, one, high volume, hard to rank. Then I would plan to write two, medium volume, which are challenging but doable to rank in the next 3 to 6 months, say, with some good promotion strategies. So that might be what I said was the Asian zucchini recipes. And there were a few others on there, Asian recipes with pear, Asian recipes with noodles, you know, that maybe have slightly less competition on that top page and still a half decent volume, maybe around the 1,000 hits a month mark. So a couple of posts I want to write that have got medium volume, and there's some competition on the first place, but there's also one or two sites on the first page which have got lower domain scores, so I have a chance to potentially rank if my content is good enough and I can get enough backlinks back to those posts that I've written. Then I would write one, I would go searching for a much longer tail keyword. Lower volume, easy to rank. So you might be looking at a couple of hundred hits a month, but you might find that all of the page one results are down below 30. You know, all of the domain scores, there might be 160 or 170, but the rest of them are 30s, 20s, 10s. And you're like, yes, I can definitely write a really good post. I can write a more valuable post than that's on there now. And I'm going to be able to rank for that within the next few weeks, because after I've done a bit of promotion and got some backlinks, bang, I'm just going to take over, you know, the top positions there, and away we go. And then lastly, if you want to, I would potentially write one post without any keyword research at all. So this might be something that's really kind of personal to you. It might be something very specific about your story, your journey, your blog, or just something you really want to write, something that you're just compelled to write and you can't be bothered with. You don't care what the keywords are, because not everything we should write on our website should be totally SEO focused. Okay, we want to be absolutely writing for ourselves and for our audience as well, and giving them the best value we can, and some of that may just not translate into keywords. So maybe just have that one freedom post. Let's call it a freedom post, where you're writing something that's very specific to your audience, and below the keywords, it doesn't matter. Okay, that's how I would get started. I would come up with those five posts. One high volume, hard to rank. Two medium volume, challenging but doable. One long tail, low volume, easy to rank. And one no keywords necessary whatsoever. All right? Then this is where the hard work really starts. You think the keyword research is tough? This is where the hard work really starts. You need to write amazing content. And there is no getting around this. That is the most important thing. I can't even tell you. I am ranking for some particularly competitive keywords that I have no right to rank for. And the only reason I'm ranking is because the posts that I have written are incredibly, insanely valuable posts. One of them is 17,000 words long. I mean, it's a mini ebook in a post. And that's why it's ranking, because it's just very, very high value content. Couple of rules: make sure your keyword is in your headline, make sure your keyword is in your first 100 words, and then make sure your keyword or phrase is nicely included throughout the article. I highly recommend you install the Yoast plugin. There's also a plugin called Rank Math and one called SEO Press. Neither of those have I used. Apparently they do something similar to Yoast, but I use Yoast and it tells me, have I got my keyword in my headline? Have I got it in the first 100 words? Have I mentioned it enough times throughout the article? Have I got my keywords nicely distributed through my subheaders? Do I have enough subheaders? Have I put alt tags on all my images? Have I created a meta description? All right, so basically it tells me basically what Google is looking for. It gives me all of those hints in the back end of my blog. You install the plugin and it pops up as you're writing your post, and it tells you everything you want to know about the keywords and the SEO for that post. And it gives you a green light to say, yay, your post looks fab. Google's going to love it. All right, or an orange one to say it needs work, or a red one to say needs a lot of work, okay? So amazing content, and here is how you do that as well. You do it by going to the top 10, having a look at what everybody else has written, and figuring out how you can make yours better. It's as simple as that. So go and have a look and see what has everybody else done. Have a look at how many words that they've used, because that is really important. And I have a really good plugin, which I'm just looking for now, which is called Word Counter Plus. If you go and put Word Counter Plus on your Google Chrome, then it means that you can go and highlight the text in a post, right click, pops up in your little menu, and you can click on it and it tells you how many words are in that post. So super fast, super easy to use, Word Counter Plus. So you can go and have a look and see how many words people are using in their posts in that top 10, and just read through the post, see the kind of content they've created, and then set about making yours so much better and so much more valuable. And how do you do that? By really thinking about what your audience wants to know. Like, let me give you the first thing I've told my friend when she writes her cooking blog. This is not going to work if she wants to put ads on her website, and we'll talk about that later. But the first thing I've said to her is, when somebody's searching for an Asian recipe with noodles, make sure the very first thing they get to read is an Asian recipe with noodles. Then add in all the stuff about why you love cooking, why you love to do Asian noodles with what inspired you to do this recipe, how your parents came around. You know how you go to one of those recipe blogs and you have to read through, you know, 10 reams of family stories before you actually get to the recipe? Well, there's a reason they do that. They do that because the longer you're on a page, if you've noticed, most of them have got adverts, either AdSense or Mediavine or whatever, and the longer you're on the page, then the higher ad revenue they're going to get, the chances of clicks and blah, 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 blah. I'm not sure entirely how it works, but that's why you've got all that text. But until you're going to do that, then make your post incredibly relevant to what people are searching for. Because, you know, otherwise people just click. I click off so fast from most of those. So make your, and then make it compelling for them to stick around and read more on that post. That's really important, all right? And then once we've done that and you've got those four or five posts written, we're going to be promoting the heck out of those posts. And we're going to be guest posting to raise the domain score. And we're going to be talking about that in next week's podcast. So that's it for this week. Quick recap. Number one, know your long-term goals, because that's going to determine the type of content that you're going to write. Number two, make a big, and listen to episode 78 if you have not. Number two, make a big list of questions your audience has. Listen to episode 56 if you want some help with that. Number three, make a big list of keywords and key phrases that you want to rank for. Keep it simple. Try not to overthink keyword research. Just remember that you're trying to go for volume, so as many people as possible searching for that search term, and you're also trying to go with the top 10 search results showing some lower domain sites ranking so that you have a chance to rank as well. And then write amazing content. And my recommendation is to write four or five really strong posts first and then go out and promote those to build your domain authority. I'm not taking credit for that, actually. I'm going to talk to you next week about the promotion strategies, and the guy that I'm following, his name is adamenfroy.com. I will put that link on the show notes. And that's his recommendation, just to write those first few posts and then promote the heck out your blog to grow your domain authority. It is not the only way to build your blog. It's not the only way to build your website. You may do what James Clear did, for instance, who's the best-selling author of Atomic Habits, where he basically posted twice a week for, I don't know, 2 years or something. And that was his commitment. You know, that's what he did. He posted on his own blog insanely useful content twice a week for 2 years. I'm not sure what link building efforts he did, if any. So there are lots of different ways to grow your blog. A guy called John Dykstra from fatstacks.com, he hates link building with a passion. So what he does is he goes for as many low volume, long tail keywords as he can. And he just writes hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of posts, or he contracts writers to write hundreds and hundreds of posts with long tail keywords and lower volume, but all of those posts together means he gets high volume. So there are more than one way. There is more than one way to grow your site. However, from my experience to date, having some really key posts on your site and then going out and starting to guest post is going to be one of the best uses of your time, because it's going to help you to grow your domain authority. And the quicker you can do that, then the more chance you've got to rank sooner rather than later. So that's the strategy I'm following from Adam, and that's the strategy I'm sharing with you on this podcast. So I hope that's been useful and helpful. And next week, we're going to be talking through the key ways that I'm going to be 10xing my website traffic over the next 12 months. Seven strategies I have for 10xing my traffic over the next 12 months. And I look forward to sharing them with you. Thanks for listening. Have an amazing week, whatever you're doing. I'll speak to you again soon. Bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. To join in the conversation, please head over to yourlifestylebusiness.com, where you can find links to podcasts, show notes, and sign up to download my free ebook, How to Build a Business You Can Run from Anywhere in the World. Also, make sure you come and join our Facebook community. Just search for Your Lifestyle Business on Facebook, and you'll soon be sharing ideas with like-minded entrepreneurs all on the same journey. Lastly, if you have a moment, please subscribe and quickly rate this podcast on iTunes. It takes a tenth of a second to hit the little stars, and your rating will ensure it gets out to more people and impacts as many as possible with the message, make it happen. Thank you so much. See you next time.